Bad news.
Bad news for the state.
Bad news for capital.
Bad news for patriarchy.
Bad news for all forms of domination.
Bad news. Angry voices from around the world.
Our monthly info show from anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio projects worldwide.
If these news are bad, I don't want to be good.
Dear listeners, welcome to the 92nd edition of Bad News. For this month, we feature two interviews. The first one is from the Anarchist Assembly BioBio from a Chilean region about memory, art, and the military dictatorship with art collective Mesa 8. And the second one is from Parias of Athens about an issue that monopolized the mass media of Greece in the past month. We discussed about the mean of subversive expression and political action within university spaces. The interview was with people who participate in Research Critique, a political group of research workers from TUA and other academic research centers. Don't forget, you are listening to Angry Voices from Around the World, a monthly podcast from International Network of Anarchist and Anti-Authoritarian Radios. Let's go!
Estado, patriarcado y capital, alianza criminal.
Arts and Politics to Remember the Military Coup. Interview with Mesa 8.
From the BioBio Anarchist Assembly, we are pleased to present our first report in English for Bad News. This is an excerpt of the interview we conducted with Mesa 8 about memory, art, and the military coup in Chile. Mesa 8 is an artistic collective and platform from the BioBio region, who told us about their great intervention 50 years 50 actions, carried out during 2023 in different territories of the BioBio region, making the link between the struggles of the past generations and the struggles of the new generations. Welcome! We want to know, what is Mesa 8?
Mesa 8 is a collective of artists, probably one of the longest running collectives in the BioBio region. Mesa 8 is about 16 years old. It started in 2008 as an articulation between artists coming from the visual arts, mostly who had the concern of linking artistic practice with the collective and a link with the community.
How did the idea of commemorating the 50th anniversary of military coup emerged from the artistic world?
For the 50 years, we had been silent for a long time. And for the 50 years, it was like this. We have to do something. That is to say something. The city of Concepción had something to say. The BioBio has something to say. It is very relevant to the way in which we understand the artistic practice. And therefore, we say go. We say let's go, let's go. That was the first conviction that it was super necessary to do something. We still didn't know what to do.
But there was that desire and that need to want to do it.
And there was the desire, and there were the 40 years, 40 action, which was like the reference that had happened 10 years ago. We just knew that this time, for example, it could not be as precarious as in the 14th, that we had to dignify the artist a little bit, even if it was not a great resource. We had to get something to be able to pay the artist to make a good record, as if we had to have a standard there. So we dedicate ourselves to achieving that minimum floor, and once we were able to consolidate that, we start to set up the curatorship, and we start with the tremendous meeting that took place at least every Monday. But one of the things that also did to us put focus on this, apart from this relationship between art and community that we had always been working on, was to first work on the from the BioBio. To understand that there was a story, a narrative that looked at this commemoration in a decentralized, delocalized way, also trying to the possibility of participating not only from Concepción, but also how we could include that other province in such a way that we could do the same exercise that one could do in somehow also manifest intention with the other centers.
Tell us what some of the actions you did were like.
There was an action that was by an artist named Carolina Opasso, and she was some time ago already working in Antuco, in the area of the Andes Mountains. She is a visual artist, a sound artist, and she works on the subject of water. So, of course, within the actions in which artists participated in the 50 years, there are also, let's say, those who come with a work process. So the action is framed in that process. And in this case, she had been working for some time with Antuco. So what we did, well, what Carolina really did, was the issue that concerned her water. And that was linked to the hydrological issue, the privatization of water, etc.
Consequences of the dictatorship.
Exactly. And what she did was to generate a path, a walk through the Laja Park, and we arrived at the point where she installed hydrophones, which are microphones, to listen to the sound of water. And people were also invited to tell a story to the river.
And did people from there, from the territory, participate?
Yes, as I said, she had already been working with the communities, with Mapuche Pehuenche groups as well, who were there that day. So there was a walk, there was a conversation about the territory, and we ended the day with that action by the river.
But we are interested precisely in the discussion of that escape that art can produce in this political, can produce in this field of political discussion, the construction of a new society, the construction of a new knowledge, of a new perception of how we relate each other, and where art and the cultural exercise are the one that trigger that way in which we want to think about what we are. It is like a utopia.
We hope you enjoyed the interview. Soon we will have more reports from the Chilean regions. Salud y anarquía.
Ni Dios, ni amo, ni partido, ni patrón. Abajo el patriarcado, arriba la anarquía.
Hello, comrades. You are listening to the bad news of June from Parias of Athens. Today, we have people who participate in a research critique, a political group of research workers from DUA and other academic research centers. They will talk to us about an issue that monopolized the mass media in Greece in the past month. During the interview, we will explain in detail why it became so well known and what it means for subversive expression and political action within university spaces. Let's get started. First, you will tell me what happened.
Okay, so the news is the alleged violence from a student who was putting up a poster at a campus in Athens against the woman owning the canteen on the campus on May 5th. This constituted breaking news, leading to full-on deployment of the police forces, housebreaking, two arrests of the student and a person of a friend of theirs.
His girlfriend, a very close friend of his.
Yes. And, that's about it.
Now you will tell me the time frame about legal issues and the state of the Polytechnic School.
Okay, the context behind this interest of the mass media on this case, on the dispute of between two individuals, is first of all the right-wing government and its long-standing educational restructuring plans, and a need to move the balance, move the agenda from the Tempe train crash, which resulted in 57 casualties, and the discovered cover-up that followed, the cover-up of the causes of the collision and the responsibilities of people in charge. So this issue puts a lot of pressure currently on the government, and they need to move the agenda to something else. And the lawlessness at universities is usually a favorite subject. So as far as the restructuring at the universities is concerned, this particular government has already established police forces on the campuses. They have established the operation of private schools, private universities, and the turning of the current universities in R&D for corporations. So that's why anything that happens at a university gets exaggerated and makes the news.
A short comment on that is that there is an all-out attack by this far-right corrupted Greek government to all levels of education in Greece, and especially in the tertiary education, that is the academia. There has been a targeting in every aspect, like academically, union-wise, and in terms of social and political movement. I must underline now that regarding the police, like in two far or more years before, recently, in any case, nobody could think that somebody with a police form would enter in any campus in any case, or almost any case. Now it is, as the commander talked earlier, that happens all the fucking time. So I want to underline this change because it is like the idea of how the academic system works, and for the academics, that the people who are in, and for the society in general. The perception of the academic asylum was strongly diffused among everyday life in Greece nowadays, and was strongly established like 4 to 5 decades ago, so there is a fight to be given.
What is your analysis of what actually happened with some details? Okay, so in this case we have a PhD student, in fact a researchers union member, who was putting up a poster at the canteen at the university campus and was physically attacked by the shop owner. And there are some things that should be said here. This particular canteen was squatted for 10 years prior to this shop owner operating it for profit. It was squatted by the students of the school in a self-organized way. The student that was putting up a poster, the poster was about academic freedom and events that were going to take place at the campus. And in the same context of the university, the National Technical University of Athens, the rector of DUA is a far-right enemy to anything related to squats or anarchist ideology, as is the government. So someone can imagine how things got out of hand on this one.
How did the mass media deceive the people, and why?
It's a funny thing that the mass media said something in that like small everyday event. Okay, they firstly said that a man, maybe a student, hit a woman who was working in the university, at the Polytechnical School anyway. Secondly, at the same day, because it was like a new, at the front page news from the very beginning, the event took place at noon, the news took place like 1 hour later. The news from the mass media, I mean. Secondly, and for a week time, they were using the CCTV videos from the establishment. I mean, the commercial canteen at the university, and they used the video the woman took from her cell phone, because she was filming it from the very beginning till the very end of the incident. So The thing is that they don't like just putting play, and we all saw that video. They were cropping the video, they're putting noises on those videos, so they were trying to establish another view of those videos.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, that the first two journalists that covered the story mixed up who was the violent one. And when they realized that the shop owner was actually the aggressive person in this dispute, the other stations decided to crop her from the videos and demonstrate a different reality.
Just a small comment in order to think of the context. That what we describe is disinformation, but that disinformation occurred for a very not interesting event. The thing is why that happened so emphatically in the bubbling mass media and for a long period of time. Because it's common in Greece. The mass media, the very most of them, maybe all of them in some ways, they're working on behalf of the far-right government and the capital. This is for sure. This is can be established with examples from everyday life. And this is one of them.
Why and in what way do they use the word lawlessness?
Okay, so with the media demonstrating incidents like this as a case of lawlessness or anarchist violence in the universities, they have the grounds to impose totalitarian measures. For example, at the Doua campus, since then, a heavily armed special police force has been established there. Also, the squads at other campuses have been attacked, for example, at the law school, also in Athens. So the lawlessness is a very favorite go-to when some changes need to be done, let's say.
Another comment at this point is that, and if the old law doesn't suit us, we change the law, because we are at that phase now. They rapidly change several types of law regarding the universities, as we are commenting today, regarding the worker establishments, whatever. They might change the physics law.
Yeah, and maybe we should say that there is a need for people to fear what takes place at free spaces, or more free than the usual spaces that people hang out. So there is a need to be fear about what's going on at universities, and the voter needs to be convinced that police and attorneys must go in and put things to order and stop the chaos and the vandalisms and so on and so forth that take place there. So, yeah, I think that the lawlessness stands for that.
So there is an immediate repression against those who are acting outside the legal framework, but must be a requirement to be politically proactive towards liberation causes.
And at the end, what has happened since that day, and how does the case continue?
Okay, so since that day, we have a promise from the government that there will be special prosecutors for students, and that any offense that takes place at a campus may be differently treated by law. For example, a student should lose their studentship upon arrest before any court takes place for 2 years, two whole years. And the prosecuted student was charged with battery, but in this particular case, the battery was upgraded as a charge so that they can be prosecuted by the state now. And him and his friend wait for court in June. Yeah, so we could say that since that incident, things have become even more suffocating regarding political freedom. However, I think people of struggle and solidarians are not willing to let this oppression be.
Now, can you tell me where we can find you, Research Critique members?
Hopefully everywhere. If there is a situation to people to be inspired in order to act and react. So be critique in everywhere, in any case, in every land. But our small group will be founded in researchcritique.blogspot.com, I think. And it will be all Greek to you.
No borders, no nations. Stop the deportations. No nations, no borders. Chaos and disorders.